All right, strap in everyone, because today we're going deep into forex trading.
Ooh, exciting.
You want to learn about forex, right?
Let
And you gave us this forex trading course outline, so we're
us.
using that as our jumping off point.
Excellent.
Think of this deep dive as like your accelerated guide to forex.
Okay.
We're gonna cut through all that like technical jargon, right? And we're gonna get right to the strategies and the insights that matter.
That's exactly what we need. It's a fascinating world, Forex, but
Oh,
it's a little complicated.
for sure. So let's start with the basics.
Okay.
When we say forex trading, what are we actually talking about?
Right to the point. I like it.
What's the big picture?
Yeah. So Forex trading, basically, it's all about exchanging one currency for another, hoping, of course, to make a profit as those values change.
Okay, like when you go on vacation and you exchange like dollars for euros or something.
Exactly. A simple Forex transaction. But think bigger, much bigger. In the global Forex market, we're talking trillions, like with a T, exchanged every single day. AXI.com says it's the biggest financial market in the world.
Trillions. Whoa,
Huge.
that's mind-blowing. But if there's no central location like a stock exchange, how does all this trading actually work?
It's a decentralized market. That's what's so unique about it. No fancy building like the New York Stock Exchange.
Oh, interesting.
All the trading happens online through networks connecting, banks and institutions and even individuals all over the world.
So it's like constantly happening.
24/7. Someone is always trading Forex, thanks to those global time zones, Investopedia.com tells us.
So never sleeps?
Never sleeps.
Wow. Okay. So how do we like actually get involved? What are we buying and selling?
We trade in something called currency pairs. Think of it like a movie. So let's say you're USD. The euro is the star, the base currency. The US dollar is the supporting actor. It's called the quote currency. It tells you how much of it you need to buy 1 euro.
Got it.
So if you buy USD, you're basically saying, hey, I think the euro is going to go up against the dollar, and vice versa if you sell.
So it's not just about buying a single currency.
No.
It's about like betting on which one will be stronger.
Exactly. It's all relative.
Interesting. Now, the course outline also mentions things like liquidity and spreads, which honestly sound kind of intimidating. Can you break those down for us?
Sure. Liquidity is how easy it is to buy or sell without causing big price swings. Forex is super liquid because it's so huge.
Oh, okay.
You can jump in and out of trades pretty quickly. Now, spreads, think of those as the cost of trading. It's the tiny difference between the buying price and the selling price.
So like a fee?
Yeah, basically the broker's fee.
Smaller the spread, the better, right?
Lower costs for you, yeah.
Got it. Now, before we even think about placing a trade, we got to talk about charts and analysis. The outline calls it technical analysis.
Right.
Makes it sound like we're, I don't know, cracking a secret code.
It can feel that way at first, but really, technical analysis is just reading the story that price charts tell us.
Okay.
We're looking for patterns, trends, clues about what might happen next. One of the tools we use is the candlestick chart.
Candlestick chart. Yeah, I've seen those before. They kind of look like little soldiers or something.
I like that visual. Each soldier, each candlestick, shows you what happened to the price during a certain time.
Like up or down.
Yep, you open the close, the highs, the low, all in one candlestick.
Oh, I
But
see.
by looking at these patterns, we can see if buyers or sellers are in control and where the price might be heading.
So it's like detective work almost.
A little bit, yeah. But we don't just stare at charts all day. We also use indicators.
What are those? Like special tools?
They are tools, but they're based on math and stuff. They use price and volume data to help confirm our hunches, you know?
Well, they back up what you're seeing on the chart.
Exactly.
Got it. The outline mentions some specific ones, moving averages, RSI, MACD. We don't have to get into the details now, but
Not right now.
just like what's their purpose? What do they tell us?
They help us spot trends, reversals, signals to buy or sell. But important point, they're not perfect.
Right. No crystal ball.
No crystal ball, exactly. They just give us more information to work with.
Okay. Now, the outline also talks about this platform called DP Minds.
Oh, yes, DP
It
Minds.
says it can like give traders a data-driven edge.
It's an interesting platform, especially if you like a more systematic approach.
Right.
DP Minds uses algorithms and their own special indicators to generate trading signals.
So it's like it's doing some of the analysis for you.
In a way, yes.
But it's not like just follow blindly.
Right. It's more like a scout, you know, giving you intel, but you still make the final call.
So you got to confirm what it's telling you with your own analysis.
Always look for those patterns, make sure it fits your strategy, and don't forget the bigger market picture.
Okay, so it's a tool, not a magic solution.
Exactly. Now, I'm guessing not all Forex traders are the same, right?
That's a good question. I bet you're right.
The outline mentions different trading styles.
Oh, that's right, it does. Can you break those down for us?
You've got your day traders, your swing traders, and your long-term investors. Three main categories.
Okay, so day trading sounds intense.
It is. They're in and out of trades within the same day, trying to catch those small price moves. Fast-paced, high pressure.
Lots of caffeine.
Definitely.
And then swing trading, that's a little more relaxed,
More
right?
relaxed, yeah. Swing traders hold positions for days, maybe even weeks, trying to ride those bigger swings in the market.
So they're not watching the charts every second.
Not every second.
More patience required.
Patience is key. And then you have your long-term investors, the ones who hold for weeks, months, maybe even years.
Wow, really? I didn't realize people did that with Forex.
They do. They do. They often look at economic factors and global trends to make their decisions.
So it's almost like investing in a company, but with currencies.
In a way, yeah. They're looking for those big long-term trends.
Okay, but no matter what style you choose, the outline really stresses risk management.
And for good reason.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter how good your strategy is if you don't manage your risk.
That makes sense. Can you elaborate on that?
Sure. It's all about protecting your capital so you can keep trading and learning.
Right.
There's this golden rule, the 1-2% rule.
Okay, tell me about that 1-2% rule.
So let's say you have $10,000 in your trading account.
Okay.
You should never risk more than 1% or 2% of that on a single trade. That's $100 or $200 max.
Okay, so even if you're wrong, you're not wiping out your account.
Exactly. You live to trade another day.
Smart. So how do you like practically do that?
That's where the stop loss order comes in.
What's that?
It's like a safety net. You tell your broker, hey, if the price goes against me by this much, automatically close my trade.
So it limits your losses.
Limits your losses, yeah. Take some of the emotion out of it, too.
Oh, I can see that. So even if you think a trade is going to be a winner, you still set a stop loss.
Always, always. The market can be unpredictable.
True. The outline also mentions something called the risk-reward ratio.
Ah, yes. Another key concept.
Sounds like it's all about like balancing the potential wins and losses, right?
It is. You want to make sure the potential reward is worth the risk.
Okay.
Aim for at least a 2.1 ratio. That means you're trying to make twice as much as you're risking.
So if you risk $100, you're aiming to make $200.
Exactly. Pick your battles wisely.
Makes sense. Now, one last thing that keeps popping up in the outline is this idea of trading psychology.
Ah, yes. That's where things get really interesting.
Why is that so important?
Because even with the best strategy, your emotions can mess you up.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like fear and greed.
Exactly. Fear, greed, overconfidence, even boredom can lead to bad decisions.
Yeah, fear can make you like hesitate to enter a trade or sell too early.
Right.
And greed, well, greed makes you hold on for too long, hoping for more, even when you know you should probably get out.
Greed is dangerous. Yeah. So how do we combat this?
Yeah, good question.
The outline suggests some techniques. Stick to your plan.
Okay.
Don't chase losses, take breaks, and most importantly, keep a trading journal.
A trading journal, like a diary for your trades.
Sort of. You log every trade, but also your thoughts and feelings. Why did you enter the trade? How did you feel? What did you learn?
So it's not just about the numbers, it's about understanding your own behavior.
Exactly. By reviewing your journal, you can identify patterns in your decision-making, both good and bad.
That's a really interesting idea.
It can be incredibly helpful for improving your trading.
All right, we've covered a lot today, from the basics of Forex to the importance of risk management and this whole psychology thing.
We have. It's a lot to take in.
It is. But before we move on to testing these strategies, there's one more step we got to talk about. Backtesting.
Ah, yes. Backtesting.
What exactly is it and why is it so important?
Backtesting is like taking your trading strategy for a test drive before you hit the real road.
Okay.
Instead of risking real money, you simulate trades on historical data.
So you can see how it would have performed in the past.
Exactly. You can test different parameters, tweak your rules, and see what works best.
So it's like a time machine for your strategy.
That's a great way to put it. It helps you avoid costly mistakes in the real market.
That makes sense. But I'm guessing there's a right way and a wrong way to backtest.
Oh, absolutely. There are pitfalls to avoid, like overfitting.
Overfitting? What's that?
It's when you tweak your strategy to fit the past data perfectly.
So it looks amazing in the backtest.
But then it fails in real trading.
Oh, I see. So like it's memorize the answers instead of understanding the concepts.
Exactly. It's too tailored to the past, and the market is always changing.
So how do we avoid that trap?
Keep your strategy simple. Use a large and diverse data set. And don't optimize on the same data you use for backtesting.
Ah, so it's like having a separate training ground and competition arena.
Precisely. That way, you can be more confident that your strategy is actually good, not just lucky.
Got it. So backtesting is essential, but we got to do it right.
Absolutely.
Okay, now I'm really curious to see all this in action. The outline mentions walking through a sample day in the life of a Forex trader. Let's dive into that, shall we?
Let's do it. Imagine yourself as a Forex trader, waking up, getting that coffee.
Okay.
Sitting down at the trading desk, ready to take on the market.
So what's the first thing on their agenda? Charts?
Close. First, they analyze the market landscape.
So they're looking at the major currency pairs.
Yep, checking recent price action, seeing if anything aligns with their strategy.
Scanning for opportunities, basically.
Exactly. They also check the news and economic calendar.
Oh, right, to see if anything big is happening that might affect the market.
Right, things like central bank announcements, interest rate decisions, economic data releases.
So they're looking for those potential catalysts.
And things to avoid trading around, too. Knowledge is power.
For sure. What happens next?
Once they have a feel for the market, they start looking for specific trade setups.
So a potential breakout, a retracement, maybe a signal from their DP Minds platform?
All possibilities.
Yeah.
But before they jump in, they create a detailed trade plan.
So it's not just like, oh, that looks good, let's trade it.
No, no, no. They plan their entry point, stop loss level, take profit target.
So they're thinking ahead.
Always. They also make sure the trade fits their overall strategy and risk management rules.
So it's a disciplined approach.
Discipline is key. Now, let's say the market conditions line up with their plan.
Time to execute the trade, right?
Almost. They need to decide what type of order to use.
Like a market order, limit order, or stop order, right?
You got it.
Can you quickly remind us how those work?
A market order is like saying, get me in now at the best available price.
Okay.
A limit order is saying, only buy or sell at this specific price.
Got it.
And a stop order is like setting a trigger. If the price hits this level, automatically enter or exit the trade.
So each one has its own purpose.
They do.
Yeah.
Now, once the trade is executed, it's not just sit back and relax.
Right. There's more to it.
Trade management is crucial. They need to monitor the position, maybe adjust their stop loss, stay disciplined.
So it's not a passive thing.
Not at all.
Yeah.
And of course, no matter the outcome of the trade, they document everything in their trading journal.
Right. That journal is important.
Super important. They record their entry price, exit price, profit or loss, but also why they entered the trade, how they felt, what they learned.
So they're constantly analyzing and improving.
Exactly. Every trade is a learning experience.
That's a great way to think about it. This walkthrough has been really insightful.
Glad to hear it.
It's starting to paint a picture of what Forex trading is all about. But before we move on to the more advanced stuff, I'm curious about something.
Shoot.
We talked about all these different trading styles, but how do you know which one is right for you? Is it just a personality thing?
That's a great question, and one that every aspiring trader should think about. It's about finding a style that fits your personality, your risk tolerance, your lifestyle. Let's dig into that a bit deeper.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so each style kind of attracts a certain type of person. Day trading, for example, appeals to people who love high-pressure, fast-paced environments.
Adrenaline junkie.
Yeah, you could say that. They got to be quick, decisive, comfortable with risk.
Not for the faint of heart.
Definitely not. Now, swing traders, they tend to be more methodical, patient. They're okay holding trades for a while, riding out the ups and downs.
More strategic.
Exactly. And then you have your long-term investors.
Yeah.
They're the ones who are drawn to the big picture, the global economic trends.
It's like they see the forest, not just the trees.
That's a great way to put it. They need a lot of patience and discipline.
So it's really about finding the style that matches who you are as a trader.
Absolutely. Trying to force yourself into a style that doesn't suit you will only lead to frustration and probably losses.
Makes sense. All right, let's switch gears a bit and talk about the psychological side of trading. We know that emotions can be a trader's worst enemy, even when they have a good strategy.
Oh, for sure.
What are some of those like common psychological traps that traders should be aware of?
Oh, there are so many. FOMO, revenge trading, greed, overconfidence, even boredom can mess you up.
FOMO, fear of missing out. I know that feeling. Like when you see a currency pair going crazy and you just have to get in on it, even if it doesn't fit your plan.
Classic FOMO. Dangerous in trading.
Yeah, you end up chasing those runaway trains.
That are about to crash.
Exactly. And what about revenge trading? That sounds pretty self-destructive.
It is when you try to make up for a loss by jumping right into another trade, usually with more risk.
Oh, so you're basically doubling down on a bad bet?
Pretty much. Driven by frustration and the need to get back at the market.
Which usually backfires, I'm guessing.
Almost always. And then there's greed, the classic downfall of so many traders.
Greed is tough to overcome, isn't it?
It is. Greed makes you hold on to winners for too long, hoping for even more, even when you should be taking profits.
Bulls make money, bears make money, pigs get slaughtered, right?
Exactly. Knowing when to take profits is just as important as knowing when to enter a trade.
So true. And what about overconfidence?
Overconfidence is sneaky. A few winning trades can make you feel invincible.
Like you figured out the market.
Right. But the market has a way of humbling you real quick.
Yeah, it always finds a way.
Overconfidence can lead to ignoring your plan, taking too much risk, making those classic mistakes that wipe out your profits.
So even when you're winning, gotta stay grounded.
Absolutely. And then, believe it or not, boredom can be a problem too.
Boredom, really, in a fast-paced market like Forex.
It might seem counterintuitive, but when the market is slow, not much is happening.
Oh, so you get impatient and start forcing trades.
Exactly. You're taking unnecessary risks just for something to do.
And that usually leads to losses.
More often than not, yep.
Right.
Creates a bad cycle.
Okay, so we've got all these psychological traps, FOMO, revenge trading, greed, overconfidence, boredom. How do we avoid falling into them? Do we need to like meditate or something?
Meditation can't hurt, but the first step is simply awareness. Knowing these traps exist and how they can affect you is crucial.
So knowledge is power, even when it comes to our own psychology.
Exactly. Another key is having a solid trading plan.
Not just a strategy, but an actual written plan.
Yep. Write down your rules for entry, exit, risk management, everything. That way, when emotions are running high, you have something to refer back to.
It keeps you on track.
Exactly. And that trading journal we talked about, that can help too.
Oh, right, the journal.
Use it to track your emotions and thoughts. You'll start to see patterns in your behavior.
Makes sense. Any other tips for staying mentally strong?
Taking breaks is super important. Trading can be mentally exhausting.
Yeah, especially when the market is volatile.
Get away from the charts, do something you enjoy, recharge.
It's like hitting the reset button on your brain.
Exactly. And don't forget about managing stress outside of trading, too. Exercise, meditation, spending time in nature, whatever works for you.
Because a stressed out trader is never going to make good decisions.
Exactly. Remember, trading is a marathon, not a sprint.
Love that analogy.
Take care of yourself, mentally and emotionally.
Okay, so it's not just about charts and indicators. It's about the right mindset, managing emotions, taking care of yourself.
Holistic approach.
I like that. All right, let's talk about putting all this knowledge into action.
Let's do it.
Starting with back testing. This
Well,
is where we see what really works, right?
it is. But remember, we have to be mindful of those pitfalls we talked about.
Like overfitting.
Yep. We want our back tests to give us valuable insights, not false confidence.
So, what should we be looking for when we're back testing? What metrics matter?
There are a few key metrics. First, the win rate, the percentage of trades that were profitable.
The higher, the better, right?
You'd think so, but it's not the whole story. You could have a high win rate, but still lose money if your losses are bigger than your wins.
Ah, so it's not just about winning, it's about how much you win and lose.
Exactly. You want to look at the average win size versus the average loss size. Ideally, your wins should be bigger.
Makes sense. Another metric the outline mentions is the profit factor.
Right. That compares the total profit to the total loss.
Yeah.
A profit factor of two means you've made twice as much as you've lost.
So higher is better, again.
Yep. And then there's maximum drawdown, which is basically the biggest potential loss your account would have taken during a certain period.
Oh, that sounds scary.
It can be. It's a measure of risk, how much you could potentially lose.
So you want to make sure your strategy isn't going to blow up your account.
Exactly. You need to find a balance between potential profit and acceptable risk.
I'm starting to see how all these pieces fit together.
Good. Backtesting is a powerful tool for evaluating strategies.
But it's not the only tool.
Right. You have to combine it with your own analysis, risk management, and that all-important psychology.
Okay. Now let's zoom out a bit and talk about the bigger picture. The outline mentions institutional trading concepts.
Yes, the big players.
What can we learn from understanding how those big institutions trade Forex?
A lot, actually. These are the whales of the Forex market, the ones with the power to move prices.
Like banks and hedge funds and stuff.
Exactly. Understanding how they operate can give you a real edge.
It's like peeking behind the curtain and seeing how the wizards work their magic.
I like that analogy. It's about understanding the forces that are really driving the market.
So what are some of those key institutional trading concepts?
Well, one of the foundational concepts is interbank trading.
What's that?
That's the trading that happens directly between banks, often in huge volumes.
Okay.
It's where those benchmark prices for currency pairs are established. Understanding interbank trading dynamics can give you insights into market sentiment and potential trends.
So it's like the foundation of the forex market.
Exactly. Then there's order flow, which is basically the stream of buy and sell orders flowing through the market.
Okay.
Analyzing order flow can give you a sense of the balance of supply and demand. You can spot potential turning points, those moments where the tide is about to turn.
So you can see which way the crowd is moving.
Precisely. And then there's market depth, also known as the order book. It shows you the buy and sell orders that are queued up at different price levels.
Oh, interesting.
It gives you a glimpse into the market's intentions, like having X-ray vision.
That's a cool way to think about it. And finally, there's market impact.
Right, that's the effect that a large order can have on the price of a currency pair.
So when those big institutions place their trades, they can really move the market.
They can. Understanding market impact can help you avoid getting caught on the wrong side of those big moves.
So it's about swimming with the current, not against it.
Exactly. It's
Yeah.
about respecting the power of those big players.
This whole world of institutional trading is fascinating. It's like a secret language that once you understand it, you can unlock a whole new level of market
I
insights.
agree. It can really change how you see the market.
Absolutely. Now, let's talk about the last topic for today's deep dive, macro and fundamental analysis.
Ah, yes. The big picture.
This is about understanding those economic and geopolitical forces that drive currency valuations, right?
Precisely. Connecting the dots between global events and what's happening in the Forex market.
So, like, if there's a war or an election, that can affect currencies.
Absolutely. Those things can create huge volatility.
So, what are some of the key economic indicators that traders should be paying attention to?
There are quite a few, but some of the most important are interest rates, inflation, GDP, employment data, and trade balances.
Okay, let's start with interest rates. Why are they so important for Forex traders?
Interest rates have a big impact on currency valuations. Currencies with higher interest rates tend to attract more foreign investment, which drives up their value.
So it's like a magnet for money.
Exactly. Higher interest rates, stronger currency, generally speaking.
Got it. And inflation, how does that play into it?
Inflation erodes the purchasing power of a currency, making it less attractive to investors.
So high inflation usually means a weaker currency.
That's the general idea. And
Yeah.
then you have GDP, which is basically a measure of a country's economic output.
Strong GDP growth, strong economy, strong currency, right?
Usually, yes, but it's not always that simple.
Right. There are other factors to consider.
Always. Now, employment data is also important. A strong labor market usually means a healthy economy.
More people working, more money flowing through the economy.
Exactly. And finally, there's the trade balance, which is the difference between a country's exports and imports.
So if a country exports more than it imports, that's a good thing for its currency.
Generally, yes. It means there's high demand for its goods and services, which brings in more foreign currency.
Okay, I'm starting to see how all these economic factors are interconnected.
They are. It's a complex web, but once you understand the basics, it can really help you make more informed trading decisions.
But it's not just about the numbers, right? We also have to consider those unpredictable geopolitical events.
Oh, absolutely. Things like elections, wars, natural disasters, those can have a huge impact on currencies.
They can throw a wrench in the works.
Definitely. So it's important to stay informed about global events and understand how they might affect the market.
So it's like being a global citizen and a trader at the same time.
Exactly. You have to keep your finger on the pulse of the world.
Wow, this has been an incredible journey through the world of forex trading so far.
I'm glad you're enjoying it.
I am, I really am. We've covered so much ground, the basics, risk management, psychology, institutional trading, macro analysis.
We've barely scratched the surface,
I
Renault.
know, right? It's amazing how much there is to learn.
It's a lifelong journey.
But before we wrap up this part of our deep dive, I'd love to hear any final words of wisdom for those who are just starting out on their forex trading journey.
Sure. Three things come to mind. First, never stop learning. The Forex market is constantly evolving, so stay curious.
Read, study, experiment, right?
Exactly. Second, practice, practice, practice.
Yeah.
Use a demo account, test different strategies. get comfortable with the platform.
Don't risk real money until you're ready.
Right. And third, be patient and persistent. Success in trading takes time.
There will be ups and downs.
For sure. But if you stick with it, you can achieve your goals.
Wise words. So it's not just about the technical stuff. It's about having the right mindset.
Absolutely. Mindset is everything in trading.
I love that. Well, on that note, we'll wrap up part one of our Forex deep dive.
That's good.
We've covered a ton of ground, but there's still so much more to explore.
There is. We'll pick it up next time.
Can't wait. Until then, keep learning, keep practicing, and keep that trading journal handy.
And manage your risk.
Always. This has been the deep dive, your shortcut to being well-informed.
See you next time. Yeah, let's get into that. It's all about finding that right fit.
Mm-hmm.
You know, day trading, for instance, it attracts a certain personality type.
Okay, like what?
They thrive in those high-pressure environments.
The ones who love the adrenaline rush.
Yeah, quick on their feet, decisive, comfortable with risk.
Sounds intense.
It is. Now, swing traders, they're different. Mm-hmm. More methodical, more patient.
Okay.
They like to ride those bigger market swings, holding trades for days or even weeks at a time.
So they're not glued to the charts all day, every day?
Nope, they've got a longer-term perspective.
Got it. And what about long-term investors? What kind of people are drawn to that style?
They're the big-picture thinkers. The ones who see those global trends, economic shifts.
They're playing the long game.
Exactly. Patience is their superpower.
So it's not just about picking a style. It's about finding the one that matches your personality, your lifestyle.
Absolutely. Trading should fit into your life, not the other way around.
Makes sense. Okay, let's dive a little deeper into the psychology of trading. We touched on it earlier, but emotions can really mess things up, even if you have a solid plan.
Oh, for sure.
What are some of those common psychological pitfalls that traders fall into?
Well, there's the classic FOMO, fear of missing out. You see a currency pair skyrocketing.
And you got to get in on the action.
Even if it doesn't fit your strategy. Chasing those runaway trains, big mistake.
Yeah, I can see how that happens. What about revenge trading? I've heard that term thrown around.
That's when you try to make up for a loss by immediately jumping into another trade, often with higher risk.
Oh, so you're trying to, like, get back at the market.
Exactly. Emotional decision-making at its worst.
And usually leads to more losses.
9 times out of 10.
Yeah.
And of course, there's greed. Ah, greed. The ultimate killer of trading accounts.
It's hard to resist, though, right? You see those profits piling up.
It is tempting. But greed makes you hold on for too long, miss those exit points.
And then the market turns against you.
And you end up giving back all those gains, and then some. Remember, bulls make money, bears make money, pigs get slaughtered.
Words to live by, for sure. What about overconfidence? I imagine that can be a problem, too.
Overconfidence is a silent assassin. A few wins, and suddenly you think you're invincible.
The market has a way of humbling you, though.
It always does. Overconfidence makes you ignore your rules, take stupid risks.
Yeah, you get sloppy.
Exactly. And then, believe it or not, boredom can be a trap, too.
Boredom? How can you be bored in the Forex market?
Well, sometimes the market is slow, not a lot of action.
Okay.
And you get impatient. You start forcing trades just to, you know, do something.
Even if there aren't any good setups.
Right. And those forced trades rarely end well.
So it's almost like the market is testing your patience.
It is. Testing your discipline, your ability to wait for the right opportunities.
So how do we combat all these psychological demons? Is it even possible?
It is. First, just be aware of them.
Mm.
Knowing is half the battle.
Okay, awareness.
Then stick to your trading plan. Write down your rules and don't deviate from them, no matter what your emotions are telling you.
The plan is your anchor.
Exactly. And use that trading journal. It can really help you see those patterns in your behavior.
So you can break those bad habits.
Right. And don't underestimate the power of breaks. Trading can be mentally draining.
Yeah, I can imagine.
Step away, recharge, come back fresh.
Okay, so breaks are important.
And don't forget about managing stress outside of trading. Exercise, healthy diet, meditation, whatever works for you.
Take care of yourself, basically.
Exactly. Healthy trader, healthy trading.
I love that. All right, let's get back to the practical stuff. Backtesting, remember.
Right. Backtesting. Let's make sure we're doing it right.
So what are those key metrics we should be paying attention to when we're backtesting a strategy?
Win rate is important, but it's not the whole story.
Yeah.
You got to look at the average win size versus the average loss size.
Make sure those wins are bigger than the losses.
Exactly. Then there's the profit factor. That tells you how much you're making relative to how much you're losing.
Higher is better, obviously.
Of course. And maximum drawdown, that's your biggest potential loss.
That one's a bit scary.
It's a reality check, for sure. You need to know how much you could potentially lose with a strategy.
So you can manage your risk accordingly.
Exactly. And there are other metrics too, like the Sharpe ratio, expectancy, consistency of returns. It's all about finding a strategy that not only makes money, but also does so in a way that you're comfortable with.
So it's not just about profits, it's about the whole package.
Right. Risk, consistency, peace of mind.
Makes sense. Now let's zoom out again and talk about those big players, the
The
institutions.
whales of the Forex market.
Exactly. What can we learn from understanding how they trade?
They have access to information and resources that we don't. They move markets. So understanding their behavior, their motivations, can be incredibly valuable.
So we're not just reacting to price movements, we're trying to anticipate them.
Right. It's about getting a sense of the big picture, the underlying forces that are driving the market.
What are some of those key institutional trading concepts?
Well, one of the foundational ones is interbank trading. That's the trading that happens directly between banks, often in huge volumes.
Okay.
It sets the benchmark prices for currency pairs. Understanding those dynamics can give you insights into market sentiment.
So it's like the heartbeat of the Forex market.
In a way, yeah. Then there's order flow, which is basically the stream of buy and sell orders flowing through the market at any given time.
Okay.
Analyzing order flow can help you identify those turning points, those moments where the tide is about to shift.
So you can ride the wave instead of getting crushed by it.
Exactly. And then there's market depth, which shows you the buy and sell orders that are queued up at different price levels.
So you can see the supply and demand at each price point.
Right. It gives you a sense of the market's intentions.
It's like having a peek into the future.
Kind of, yeah.
Yeah.
And finally, there's market impact,
Right.
which is the effect that a large order can have on the price.
So those big players, they can really move the market.
They can. And you don't want to be on the wrong side of that move.
Definitely not. So understanding market impact is crucial for risk management.
Absolutely. It's about knowing who you're swimming with in this ocean.
This whole world of institutional trading is fascinating. It's like learning a secret language.
It is. And once you understand it, it can really change how you see the market.
Okay, let's shift gears one last time and talk about macro and fundamental analysis.
The big picture stuff.
This is about connecting those global events, economic indicators to what's happening in the Forex market.
Exactly. It's about understanding the underlying forces that drive currency valuations.
So, what are some of those key economic indicators we should be watching?
Interest rates, inflation, GDP, employment data, trade balances, those are the big ones.
Okay, interest rates. Why are they so important?
Higher interest rates tend to attract foreign investment, which boosts a currency's value.
So it's all about the flow of capital.
Exactly. Money flows to where it's treated best.
Got it. What about inflation?
High inflation can erode a currency's value, making it less attractive.
So it's a negative factor?
Generally speaking, yes.
Yeah.
And then you have GDP, which measures a country's economic output.
Strong GDP growth usually means a strong currency, right?
Often, but not always. There are always other factors to consider.
Right, the market is complex.
Very complex. Employment data is important too. A strong labor market is usually a good sign for a currency.
More jobs, more spending, stronger economy.
That's the idea. And finally, there's the trade balance, the difference between exports and imports.
A trade surplus is good, a trade deficit is bad, right?
Generally, yes. A surplus means more money flowing into the country, which can boost the currency.
Okay, so it's all connected. Interest rates, inflation, GDP, employment, trade. It's like a giant economic puzzle.
It is. And then you have those unpredictable geopolitical events thrown into the mix.
Those wild cards.
Exactly. Elections, wars, natural disasters, they could all impact currencies in unexpected ways.
So you got to stay informed.
Always. The world is your trading playground.
Wow, we've covered so much in this deep dive.
We have. It's a lot to absorb.
It is. But it's fascinating, too. I'm starting to see how all these pieces fit together, how the Forex market really works.
That's great to hear. It's a complex world, but
Yeah.
once you understand the fundamentals, it's incredibly rewarding.
All right, before we move on to the final part of our Forex journey,
Okay.
any parting words of wisdom for our listeners?
Never stop learning. Practice as much as you can. And most importantly, be patient. Success in trading takes time.
Great advice. All right, let's take a quick break and then we'll come back to wrap things up and talk about how to approach that Forex course outline with this newfound knowledge.
Sounds good to me.
All right, so we're back, ready to connect all this awesome info to that Forex course outline you gave us.
Time to put it all together.
Yeah, exactly. So, how should our listener, armed with all this knowledge now, approach this course? Anything they should pay extra attention to?
Definitely. I'd say, first of all, think of all this stuff we've talked about as a lens,
Ooh, a lens? Okay.
like a way to view the course material. When you're reading about a specific trading strategy, for example,
Okay.
ask yourself, does this fit my personality, my risk tolerance?
So it's not just about like memorizing the steps, it's about understanding if it's right for you.
Exactly. And those sections on risk management and psychology, those are gold mines.
Yeah, they're super important.
Take notes, highlight stuff, maybe even make yourself a cheat sheet to keep handy while you're actually trading.
Ooh, a cheat sheet, like for your brain.
Yep. Because when you're in the middle of a trade, emotions running high, it's easy to forget those principles.
Makes sense. So, like little reminders, don't chase losses, stick to the plan.
Exactly. Keep yourself grounded. And when
Yeah.
you get to those modules on backtesting and optimization,
Yeah, those are kind of technical.
they are. Don't just read about it. Get in there and try it out. Use a demo account, experiment, see what happens.
So it's like theory is good, but practice is better.
Way better. That's how you really learn. And those more advanced topics like algorithms and institutional stuff, don't get intimidated.
It can be overwhelming.
Just focus on the core concepts. Build that foundation.
Okay, one step at a time.
Right. And throughout all of this, remember to have fun.
Oh, yeah. Gotta enjoy the process.
Forex can be challenging, but it's also incredibly stimulating. It's like solving a puzzle.
Ooh, I like that. Unlocking the secrets of the market.
Exactly. Celebrate those wins, learn from the losses, and never stop exploring. This market is full of possibilities.
Well said. I think our listener is probably feeling pretty inspired right now.
I hope so. They've got the knowledge, the tools, the mindset.
They're ready to take on the world of Forex.
They are. It's all out there waiting for them. It's got to take that first step.
And remember, every expert trader was once a beginner.
Exactly. We all start somewhere.
So don't be afraid to jump in, make mistakes, and learn along the way.
That's the best way to learn.
This deep dive has been amazing. We've gone from zero to like Forex hero in just a few episodes.
It's been a wild ride, but a fun one.
It has. I hope our listener is feeling just as pumped about Forex as we are.
Me too. Now go forth and conquer the market.
Yes. But with knowledge, discipline, and a healthy dose of risk management.
Always.
All right, that wraps up our deep dive into the world of Forex trading. We've covered a ton of ground, but remember, this is just the beginning.
The first step on a very exciting journey.
Exactly. So to our listener, we say dive into that course material, explore the markets, and discover the endless possibilities of Forex trading.
Happy trading.
Until next time, this has been the deep dive, your shortcut to being well informed.